wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ, 713-780-3776, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at what's yours again, RJ?
R got no J.
Oh, that's right. R got no J. Can you explain that to everybody again, please?
Basically, when I was playing high school basketball, they would always have me in the post because I was one of the taller guys on the team. So I would have, you know, a 17-point game or a 20-point game. And the janitor who I was friends with would say, what's going on, R? And I'm like, why are you calling me R? He's like, because you have no J. All your shots come in the post.
RJ. He hit you with a... Even with a Fat Albert crack.
Yeah, yeah.
I call you R because you got no J.
Yeah, just think like Carolina basketball. A guy with no J.
Well, they your Caleb Love predictions hit dead on.
Yeah.
Because he can shoot you in.
Shoot you in, shoot you out.
Or he can shoot you out. 5 of 24 was Caleb Love. 1 for 8 from 3. North Carolina shoots 21.7% from 3, 31.5 for the game field goal percentage against 43.9, which is okay for Kansas, 35.3 from 3, and a 16-point first half lead disappears, and it didn't take long to disappear either. They came out storming.
10 minutes.
And North Carolina was in it all the way up until the 3 seconds left in the game, as a matter of fact, when Kansas inexplicably steps out of bounds
and, how about Bill Raftery,
and gives
though?
Them a chance.
Well, the play, so Bill Raftery brought up the fact that this is a dangerous angle here. It's a tough angle to get the ball into the court when you're on a sideline and they're playing man-to-man defense. And but he was right. Like that ended up being a tough angle because they ran a defender underneath, and not only did he step out of bounds the first step, he stepped out the third step as well. And the whole story was, I mean, Kansas, Leaky Black defensively was shutting down Agbaji, and the rest of the team had no confidence. And you're like, oh my God, Carolina might win this thing by 30.
Yeah.
And then the second half, and especially when Leaky Black picked up his fourth foul, the game completely changed because Agbaji was rolling. And really it happened before that because everyone's confidence got rolling. But that became a much more confident team, a much more confident offensive unit, defensive unit. And then once they lost Baycott, Baycott rolled his ankle in the last minute of the game. And that was a wrap because they went immediately down to Manic versus McCormick. McCormick posted up Manic, the you can't miss him, the beardy white guy from North Carolina who came over from Oklahoma, and he had no chance in the post. Like McCormick's just too big boy for
him.
Oh
my God, he just pulled his way in.
Made the easy little jump hook from about 4 feet,
mm-hmm.
and it was a 3-point lead, and that was all she wrote. But what, you know, if you're a North Carolina fan, you survived. Not just the fan, obviously, Hubert Davis and the players. You survived one of the biggest chokes that we had seen against Baylor. A 25-point deficit, a 25-point lead evaporated in one half against Baylor. And then somehow they pulled it off in the, you know, in the overtime. You saw it happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened again.
It was unbelievable. And, you know, what they came out, listen, you can and there were so many thoughts about this. McCormick says, I just told my guys, let's go out and have fun. Bill Self actually talked about halftime. They're down 15. You're right. I thought, uh-oh, this is blowout. This sucks. This game sucks.
You couldn't. It was impossible. All you could hang your hat on was, I don't think Kansas could have had a worse first
no.
half. Like the last 10 minutes of the first half, they missed so many bunnies. They had so many turnovers. They looked so passive. Like, it couldn't be that bad two halves in a row.
Well, Bill Self talked about what he told his team at halftime.
I really didn't say much. We were disappointed in how we played the first half. Carolina was obviously the much better team, but this team has been down before. And I told them at halftime, would you rather be down 15 with 20 left or down 9 with 2 left? Because that was obviously what happened in 2008. And they all said, let's take 15. So we played off of that.
That's nice.
He's the numbers guy.
Yeah. Well, he is. He's dealing with a lot of numbers. The NCAA is dealing with a lot of numbers that he was putting out there as well. He puts out a lot of numbers, that Bill Self. He does. He likes to put out numbers. So he's going to be facing that. Is it tainted at all with the investigation into Bill Self and
not,
Kansas?
Not at all. I heard it yesterday. Like, everyone cheats, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, and don't play holier than thou. You can't say you want players paid, and when they get paid, you're excited. But when they get paid and you find out Bill Self.
Well, he was the only one doing it, though, before all
yeah,
the NIL.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. No, everything had been totally
you know,
clear.
This
no,
cheating thing.
No, you mean the guy that got caught cheating? No, as an Astros fan, I recognize, and that's something else we'll get into with Josh Reddick. But
not only Josh Reddick, but we got other stuff that with that as well. Yeah. So we got there's some good stuff with
that. But I'm just telling you Astros. This. When you know everyone else is cheating and it's a known thing, but everyone grasps their pearls because one person gets caught. Nah, I don't. I fade your feigned outrage. So no, I'm not worried anymore. Everyone wanted players all to get paid. They've been getting paid. The idea that players are starving in the streets, huddled up in balls because some student athletes are like that. The best players at the biggest universities are well taken care of.
Yes.
They're all well taken care of.
And they have
especially
been forever,
in basketball.
And
they have been in basketball for 3-4 decades.
Yeah.
It's not new.
Football, too. I mean, there's nothing new about any of this.
I'm getting kind of sick of hearing the ridiculous narratives. The fact
tainted
is
tainted and oh stop.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not a tainted championship. One team that cheats got caught and they beat another team that probably cheats that hasn't been caught. Yeah. What? Who cares? This is what sports it's just payments. It's just some people now will do it over the table. And I'm still predicting though, I don't want to get into a separate topic here, but I think you're gonna see a lot more cheating go back under the table. Because players don't want to deal with tax implications.
True.
Because somebody's going to get clipped by taxes.
Oh.
And the players are going to be like, I don't want this. And then the teams may say, hey, no, I like being able to write this off. As
yeah, right.
A matter of
no,
fact.
No, no. It can be a charitable contribution. In a lot of universities, that's the way they're setting it up, as charitable contributions, which donors don't mind doing that. And it's a lot easier for them to do it and all above board. But players, you know what? You're just going to have to, well, here's the universities are dumb if they let the players take all the money and then owe the taxes later. Take the taxes out right now. That's the way they got to go about it.
But university can't do it, though.
Not the university, but the people who are running them, which in a lot of instances is the head coach. But that's another story. You don't think that the head coaches all across the country know what's going on with the NIL, then you got your head in the sand. North Carolina. And I heard this. I was listening to Joel and Jeremy, and Joel thought that, North Carolina spent, I don't know how to put this delicately. They shot their wad against Duke. They're going to come out, and it's just a letdown to be playing after that emotional game, the most emotional game in all of their careers. You just 2 days later, you got to go out on the court, and you got to do it again, this time for the chance. He referenced the U.S. and Russia in 1980, but the U.S. came back to beat Finland in the gold medal game. So they won the game. Well, but they started out slow. Well, North Carolina didn't start out slow. North Carolina came out like gangbusters, although they were down 7-0 to start the game. They came out like gangbusters. They beat their ass in the first half. Listen, we have, we have North Carolina gagging before. They lost a 25-point lead.
RJ, dump him. He's beating ass and gagging and wads, and this is just
what?
This is one of the craziest segments I've ever heard.
No, this is not that none of
listen,
those
they, earmuffs, okay, kids?
No,
earmuffs.
That has nothing to do with that.
Did you say gagging?
Yeah, they gagged. They choked.
Wad?
Choked. I didn't see
beating
that's
ass?
Your filth and flarn of a mind.
I'm just dump him, RJ.
Okay?
Dump the
don't,
whole thing.
Don't dump it.
No, dump the whole segment.
Don't dump it, RJ.
Dump the whole segment,
He's
RJ.
He's joking, RJ. Did you
I'm
dump
not joking.
That? No.
I'm not joking. He needs to be dumped.
So Yeah, listen.
Can you watch your language?
This team chokes. They choked against Baylor. Blew a 25-point lead.
This is no.
Caleb Love.
You don't need to overthink this. We've already seen it.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, they, you know, and look, I think Joel had a.
There's something to that.
That was a valid thing to watch for, but it didn't materialize. What happened was, just go all the way back to the Baylor game. The same thing happened. You got a guy who can shoot you out of the game. You have a team that played very, very tight. And you had a team that, frankly, I thought did a poor job of defending. I also thought that – I thought Kansas getting out in transition was a really, really big deal too. But their guards, you know, Brown got really aggressive in that second half. Like really, really aggressive. He played great. And it was just a case of one team picked up the confidence and one team, when they lost it, they played tight the entire second half. And then you throw in a guy who, you know, they didn't go get easy baskets. They were and when they did, they were getting some shots blocked, but it was just a team that got really tight.
Yeah.
And then you throw in a guy who's willing to take some terrible shots, high volume bad shots. That's a recipe for disaster.
All right, just a couple minutes left in this segment. We're going to talk some NFL on the other side. But they've already got the way too early preseason top 25 for next year.
Basketball.
Arkansas number one. I mean, they made a nice run. They got a young team. They got some great recruits coming in. And listen, they've got four top 20. Oh my God, three top 20 guys coming in next year.
Probably all completely legit.
Nick Smith, Anthony Black, and Jordan Walsh.
Probably legit. Probably no inducement.
Do you know who the number two team is?
LSU.
No, sir.
Who?
Closer to home.
It's not Houston.
Houston.
Oh, awesome. Really?
So, yeah. Jamal Shedd, Marcus Sasser, Tremont Mark, Jairus Wallace, Walker, and Juwan Roberts. Walker is number nine in the ESPN's top 100.
I watched him in some of the McDonald's All-American game.
Yeah. He's
a thick, strong guy now. He's a grown-ass man.
He can go.
So he can go, but... So LSU's not number two now that they've lost 11 scholarship players and have nobody on scholarship there?
Did you read that?
They have no – everybody, 11 players have left the portal, and two recruiting classes have decommitted.
Yeah.
They have zero players there.
They
have no players.
Either that's – they're really, really loyal to Will Wade, or
– they're really loyal to self.
They didn't love it.
Apparently, they don't like LSU.
Apparently not. I don't know how that would happen. Have you ever been to a party at LSU?
I mean, I'm just telling you, they must not like LSU for everybody on the entire team to leave.
Well, listen.
Like, no one liked LSU
the deal is Will Wade took good care of them. Okay.
You're saying it's...
Yeah, they fired Will Wade. They fired Will Wade.
The sugar daddy's gone and the well dries up.
See ya.
Are they not going to be able to get there? But what about their name?
But now they got... Wait a minute.
But what about the name, the image, and the likeness?
Now I'm out there, coach. Would you want me? Give me that name, image, likeness. I can go get some every year. I can go get me some name, image, likeness every year.
Switch team to team.
That's it. That's all you got to do. That's it. Anyway, congrats to the Cougs for being number two in the nation. Way too early. But, they were Final Four and then they were Elite Eight. They deserve to be up there.
They defend and they had offensive guys who... they were in Elite Eight with a team that can really, really defend, and they weren't able to score.
And lost their two best players, and they were Elite Eight.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's – I was thinking it would be top five.
Yeah.
Number two is
Number
strong.
Two is pretty cool. UCLA third, Kansas is fourth, North Carolina fifth. So, anyway, good stuff. Nice national champ. We had a good game. What was thought to be, this is going to suck. It was pretty darn good. The rest of the world.
By the way, and our guy five-star with the plus the points won again. I don't know that he lost a tournament.
See somebody saying, oh, was it that they stepped out of bounds or and he got – I don't give a – if you got plus 4.5 and you lose by three,
that team
you win.
Was winning by 15 at the half.
I know.
What do you –
You never sweat that.
What are you crying
about?
Well,
actually, you did. It was sweatable.
They were down six.
Yeah.
North Carolina was six. Yeah, you did have to sweat
it. You had to sweat it a little bit.
And he still got there with the win. Let me tell you what no one ever says. When you take a bad loss, you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to count that as a win. We really should have won that. You may say that, but the people who don't get the cheese, you're mad at the team, but – Five Star literally has gone 20-2 in his last 22 games he's given us on the air.
It's unbelievable.
Starting at the NFL playoffs. 20-2.
That's ridiculous. All right. No, that's ridiculous. All right. When we come back, an NFL trade, I don't understand. And there are some Brandon Cooks rumors out there. We will talk about next when we get back. But right now, HRNP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. Those are my guys. And listen, you got to be completely satisfied with your payroll company. If you're not, if they're not taking care, this is tax time right here. This month, right now, here and now, are they taking care of you? Are they taking care of your Affordable Care Act? Is it easier than just nothing to it when you're talking about the taxes, because HRP takes care of all of that stuff for you. These are tax experts, affordable care experts, and they're doing that for us. Is your payroll company doing that for you? Or are you trying to do it yourself and it's just, you're putting yourself out there, because the Affordable Care Act is extremely difficult. So if you're looking for somebody that is going to take care of this, it's a complicated situation. Let the experts do it. And you can even call them if you need some advice on this thing. They said that before. Give them a call. Find out for yourself. These people are great at this, and they're great at the payroll and the HR as well. So if you're looking for a company like that, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Maybe you, because you're in the middle of this draft thing, Lance, you understand draft compensation. You understand the importance of draft picks. Do you have that chart, the trade chart?
Hey, you can find it easy.
Yeah, yeah.
There's modified versions of that now that teams have made their changes. Some teams even will modify it from draft to draft.
So I just don't get this trade for the Saints.
And
okay. So the Eagles are sending the 16th. They had the 15th, 16th, and 19th picks in this year's draft in the first round. They're sending the Eagles are sending the 16th and 19th and 194th pick in this year's draft to the Saints for the 18th pick. So the Eagles still have the 15th and 18th picks. Mm-hmm. They also get the 101st pick and 237th pick, as well as next year's first round pick of the Saints and the Saints' 2024 second round pick. So the Eagles, who had the 18th pick, now have the 16th and 19th and the 194th, but they've given up all of this draft capital for what? I don't get it.
I don't get that one. I think for the Eagles, it's a no-brainer. I
mean, yeah.
You basically are saying, I heard an Eagles fan that was really upset about it. He reached out to me on Twitter. I said, dude, all they're basically saying is, okay, number one, to not have three players come up the same year contract-wise is kind of preferable for NFL teams. There's such a thing as too many draft picks in the first round in a given year. You'd rather spread them out. So what I think the Eagles basically did is when they had the opportunity, I'll try to speak for the Saints in a second. When the Eagles had the opportunity to basically say, okay, we will bet on next year's draft class and the Saints potentially being, not being a playoff team. We're willing to bet on the Saints not being a playoff team and getting an additional first round pick, basically. Because all you're doing is you swap picks. So let's say you swap the 16th for the Saints' 18th pick. Now you're swapping your 19th pick for whatever the Saints have next year. So it's pick swaps.
Next year and a second rounder in the 2024.
But that's what I was going to say. The kicker is, okay, so even if the Saints make the playoffs, they're in the 20 somewhere, okay. But you got a second round, you got not only a second round sweetener, you also got The 101st pick. This is a no-brainer for the Eagles. A no-brainer. You have two picks that are going to be right there in the middle of the first round. Instead of three, you basically just, you're moving one to next year, which is what they'd rather do anyway. I don't understand how this benefits the Saints. What you just did was you moved up two spots from 18 to 16, and then you added one more. So I guess the Saints, obviously, you have to have players targeted. For you to do something like this, you have players targeted that you really like and you feel good that they will be there, number one. And then number two, I think what you are trying to do is you clearly have a plan for next year already in place from a financial standpoint as well. Because I don't understand the idea of giving up. Now, that's a 2024 second-round pick that they gave up, the Saints. So it's not going to hit them right now. But for them to do this right now, they're basically saying, okay, we want to – this is a win-now move. You're saying we think there are two players, not just one, but two players that could potentially step in and help us right now. It's the only thing I can think of because I don't really understand why they would clearly take the worst of it from a trade package standpoint. Are you this desperate that to pick up an extra first that you will basically give up a second and a fourth? Or no, a second and a third?
Yeah.
Are you this desperate?
The Saints lost me when the Marcus Davenport trade a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I thought that was crazy, too.
They gave up they didn't move up that far.
He's a developmental prospect with talent. They must have seen him as Alton Smith.
And they gave up an additional first-rounder for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think they, first of all, they overdrafted him there, didn't they, at 14?
Well, that's when, yeah, Mickey Loomis was really doing a lot of, I thought they overdrafted him. Mickey, I had like a second-round grade on him. Mickey Loomis really has made moves Mickey and Sean have made moves in the past that have been very win now, like kind of panicky. Drew Brees is on his last leg.
They don't have Drew Brees anymore.
Exactly. That's why I don't really understand this. Unless they have a quarterback they love. And maybe that's the case. Maybe they're saying, look, we want the ammunition on draft day to go get Malik Willis or go get Kenny Pickett. I don't think they would make a trade like that for Matt Corral. I think Matt Corral is going to be there. Desmond Ridder would be there. Sam Howell would obviously be there. This could also be a move where they're saying, we want to be able, if there is a run on a quarterback, they may love Kenny Pickett. And they may say, okay, we're going to wait it out. And if Malik Willis goes sixth to Carolina or ninth to Seattle, we're going to package. We want to have the ammunition to move up and get Kenny Pickett at pick number 13.
Which would be better to this year's 18th next year's first, or two firsts this year for whoever wants a package for Pickett?
So I think what you could do is, depending on where you are, like if you're at pick number 16, you could maybe flip flop from 16 to 13 with the Texans and say, we'll convey that 2000. We'll convey.
The Eagles are saying this.
No, the Saints could say we'll convey a 2023 second round pick to you. Next year, second-round pick to move up three spots, or probably it'd be like a third-round pick.
Why wouldn't you? Okay, listen, if you just did this, though, you've got next year's first-rounder that you gave the Eagles instead of giving that to the Texans. Why wouldn't you just give that to the Texans instead of getting the 16th and 19th picks?
What, the next year's pick?
Yeah.
Well, because you could trade, you flip-flop this year's pick, and then you still have a first-round pick. So you could end up getting you're basically doing credit card spending. You could still get a Kenny Pickett in this scenario have a second pick. Maybe for Chris Olave, maybe you get a quarterback and a wide receiver. I'm just saying, maybe that's what's going through the Saints' head, because I'm trying to figure out why you're not in the top eight where you really, like, you, there's a lot that could happen. You don't really know where players are going to slot this early. So that trade,
I could
just
see this kind of trade
sense
on draft day when it's in the middle of it.
Yeah.
When you see what's developing.
Well, for them to do this, now don't forget, I don't want you to forget this. The Philadelphia Eagles did something very similar back, not necessarily like this, but do you remember that the Eagles made a trade up in the draft, and then they made another trade up? They wanted to get up further, so then they were up there closer, and they could trade again. They're more likely to get up there to the number two pick, so they could get Carson Wentz. Remember, the Eagles traded up before the draft, so their draft pick became like the number nine pick or something. So then they were in firing distance because they probably had a conversation with the number two team that year and said, hey, we'd like to pick up your pick. We're not going all the way back to, you know, 24 or whatever. Right. We're not doing that. Okay, what if we get all the way to 9? And so remember, they made a pick. I mean, they made a trade to get a higher draft pick, and then they flipped that pick again for another pick so they could get Carson Wentz at 2. I think it's possible that they're looking quarterback here and that they're getting themselves in position to possibly make another deal on draft day if they need to for a quarterback, either Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett. I can't really see why you're doing this because you got the worst of it. The Eagles beat you in this deal. So you obviously are targeting at least one, if not two, players. But how can you target two players in the middle of the first round when you don't even know how this draft's going to go?
Which quarterbacks will still be there at 13? Just to see if the Texans will. Maybe the Texans can be in part of this.
People around the league think that Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett will both be there.
They think that
the tape is going to win out with teams. Don't get driven by, you know, pro days or fans getting excited or all of a sudden mock drafts pushing people up. That's when people say, what happened? I thought he was getting pushed. You know, he was flying up the board. Guys don't fly up the board necessarily for teams. They have a grade on them, and they're not going to all of a sudden move somebody up 6-8 spots based on a pro day in shorts. Like, that's just not going to happen. So I think there's a decent chance if you trust the tape, then Malik Willis is a second-round pick. If you just say, just trust the tape. But you're grading flashes. So Malik Willis is going to be a first-rounder. Kenny Pickett is a first-rounder, but probably a later first-rounder in most drafts. And I think he'll get pushed up too. But I think there's a chance that both quarterbacks are on the board. And if they are, I think the Texans are in a great position to move back at 13 and still get a really good offensive lineman, a good potentially a good cornerback, although I think the Eagles are looking at Sauce Gardner. So not the Eagles, but the Vikings are looking at Sauce. So there's that's why Patrick Peterson, by the way, supposedly one of the reasons Minnesota kept him is because they want him there
to mentor
Stingley.
All right, when we come back, we didn't get to Brandon Cooks yet. We'll get to that on the other side, see what value he has next right here on ESPN 97.5. What kind of value does your patio have?
Well, I have great value. It's the value, my patio. Talked to a real estate agent who's in a neighborhood where we're friends with, and they thought that the patio alone, number one, it would add in the neighborhood almost exact. Now, this conversation happened 3 years ago. She thought it would add the value of the patio. Whatever I paid for it would basically be the value. The thing is, I am now adding a kitchen. And so what I have is an outdoor living space. I'm going to have an outdoor kitchen with a grill, a cooktop. I've got the sound system set up. Texas Custom Patios, forget the value of your home when you sell it. How about the value of your home when you're living at it? How about the value of being able to watch a national championship game out there with a cold cocktail and you're watching on your sound system and you're enjoying yourself on a nice spring night? That's unbelievable. Watching your baseball this summer, you can go out there in the evening and watch games, just be by yourself or have friends come over and have drinks, set up multiple TVs. If you want them to install multiple TVs, that could be your own personal, you know, your own personal watch party every single time you're outside. It's a great place to, you know, the outdoor living spaces and kitchens are so incredible by Texas Custom Patios that if you love having people over, if you love enjoying time with friends, this is going to be a spot that really turns your house into a home and helps you live your best life. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, you know, we've been talking about this for a little while, and it's kind of a big deal. What is Brandon Cooks worth? What is he worth to the Texans?
A first?
Well, no.
I don't feel like that's
historically
accurate.
he has lost value throughout.
Yeah.
Okay, in 2017, okay, first he was traded. The Saints traded him and a 2017 fourth round choice to the Patriots for a 2017 first round pick. So he was traded, Brandon Cooks and a fourth rounder for a first round pick. You know who the Saints got?
Who the players became?
Yeah. And kid, this is kind of a big deal because
Marshon Lattimore?
No, it was Ryan Ramczyk.
Oh my God.
And Trey Hendrickson.
Holy shnikes. But that's Hendrickson's not bad for gone. Yeah. But Ramczyk alone is a win.
Yes.
Ramczyk over Cooks is a huge W.
A year later, the Patriots traded Cooks and a 2018 fourth round choice to the Rams for a 2018 first round pick, Isaiah Wynn. And a 2018 sixth round choice that they traded. Uh-huh. In 2020, the Rams traded Cooks and a 2022 fourth round selection to the Texans for a 2020 second round pick, Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
Not
bad.
Yeah. I'd rather have Cooks than Jefferson, I think, but okay.
Well, one guy's cheaper.
Yeah.
How you gonna get all these other awesome players and pay them money that you don't? I mean, you have to have the Van Jeffersons to make that happen. You couldn't do it with Cooks' contract.
Right. Well,
we took Cooks. That's another contract the Texans took off the books of another team who was over the cap. The Texans were great under Bill O'Brien at helping. Do you need some help? Because if you need some cap help, we'd love to help you. Oh, boy. What are you going to charge me for this? Nothing. We just want to do the right thing.
So Mary Kate Cabot says that the Browns not only wanted Deshaun Watson, but they wanted Brandon Cooks as well. But the Texans wanted, and I'm liking Nick Caserio more and more and more and more. He wanted a second-round pick. What use is it giving up Brandon Cooks for a fourth-round draft pick? Now, he's $12 million, but it's not like the Texans are up against it because they got to sign all these big-name free agents. They're not up against the cap. And even if they are, I mean, they're signing they're signing journeyman free agents. It's not like they're going out there. They're not spending any money on a quarterback. I mean, the Texans, they can afford to have a $12 million wide receiver in Brandon Cooks, right? I mean, and they need somebody to help to actually be able to catch a football. If you want to see if the kid can play, who's he going to throw to?
I think that there's probably a price tag. Look, Cooks is probably one of those guys. If you're going to trade him, you probably trade him after the draft. You see what you get. You see what your third wave of free agency looks like if you want to add another free agent wide receiver. And I haven't even looked at the list who's left available. But what I'm saying is you can move on from Brandon Cooks and feel okay about it.
No,
but
get some.
But you got to it depends on what people are offering you, you know. I don't know what his market value is. He is approaching 30 years old now.
Well, but I'm okay. But see, here's the deal: is okay. So is he worth a fourth rounder for you? No, he's more valuable to you to see if Davis Mills can actually play.
Well, but I don't know what the Texans. Once again, this might be a situation where you always have to remember that there's actual real cash being paid, and sometime ownership says, we're not going to be a good team, let's get rid of, what do you think his cap number is?
It's 12. He's making 12 this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a $12 million base.
Okay, listen.
His roster bonus is 1.2. The restructure is pushing the cap number 2.5. I mean, his cap hit is 16.8. No, I'm sorry. His dead cap is going to be 8.2 million.
Who cares about his dead cap?
How do you trade? Well,
who cares about his dead cap?
Well, I'm telling you, I don't know that they would.
No.
Actually, the dead cap is $8 million. Yeah, you'd still save $8
million. Yeah, you save $8 million.
So you're going to save, you'd save cap space, but you save, depending on when you traded them, I don't know. No, the roster bonus, I think, has already been guaranteed. So you'd save $12.5 million of real cash.
Okay, so.
I don't know that Davis
at
Mills.
What point, wait a minute. Let's name all of the people that Cal is paying that don't work here anymore.
Well, maybe that's one of the reasons he has.
No,
but that's real cash, John.
But that's real. It's real.
That's
cash
real cash,
going
and this
door.
Is real cash. $12 million.
Do you think Cal's in there? We got to save some money.
Do you think
he's Daniel Snyder?
Do you
in
think
them?
People with money want to continue to pay?
Do you think Cal knows how this
whole
thing works?
I think there are other people who can tell him. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that his name keeps popping up. Is there value? The only value there is, I would argue that $12.5 million is pretty expensive to give Davis Mills just a veteran receiver. That's pretty expensive for a guy who's, frankly, going to be a veteran wide receiver. He's a slot wide receiver who can play some outside, and he's, frankly, not going to have a big impact on total wins this year, I don't think.
No, nobody's going to have an impact on total wins this year. Nobody. But you have to have some good football players.
Yeah.
Okay? But, he's arguably your second best football player.
But this rarely happens in any sport.
And he costs you $12 million.
$12.5 million.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's arguably your second best football player.
But that's a relative term. It's nothing for the Texans.
And listen, I don't believe they just signed Gaines. They got rid of all of the equipment. They got rid of all of the everybody in behind the scenes. They got rid of their cap. They got rid of Bill O'Brien. They got rid of
But while you're panicking about that, what if I told you that you could get a $5 million deal discounted for Cole Beasley, who's a high-volume catch guy from the slot?
Little white guys do you need on this team?
How
many little white guys that are past their prime do you need on this team?
How many do you have
Rex Burkhead. You got Danny Amendola.
I don't think Amendola.
Now you want – yes, no, he's here. Amendola's sure? here.
I don't care. I just want good football players. Okay. Cole Beasley's a good football player.
How many little white guys do you need?
I don't care. I don't need a black receiver. I just need a good receiver.
Well,
I don't care if he's black
one.
Or white.
I got one.
But I'm not – so I don't care about why – I don't care about what color you are. I care about if I'm building a team, I do care about how much are you making? Do you have a value to us? And if the owner says, I'm paying this much money to all these guys, I don't want to pay Brandon Cooks $12.5 million.
I don't think Kel says that.
But I don't know. I would.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. Fiscal standpoint, Brandon Cooks is not going to move the needle if I could get.
Okay.
Here's the players I would look at. I would look at Cole Beasley. I would look at potentially Keelan Cole. I would look at Jarvis Landry. Because I don't think they have no, especially Juice Landry and Cole Beasley, they're going to sign one-year deals. They don't really have a choice. They're going to sign a one-year deal and hope for a better deal next year.
Well, I think Juice has more choices than Cole Beasley does, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, I mean,
let me ask you this. That's what you said. That's what I would do. You said that's what I would do.
Yes.
If I walked in and I said, I'm going to trade DeAndre Hopkins for a second-round pick.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, you wouldn't do
obviously
that.
Obviously, if
so
I were...
This owner doesn't think like you.
He's obviously an incompetent owner. What I'm telling you, though, is Nick Caserio is not incompetent. Nick Caserio understands, and Nick Caserio could easily go to, hey, Cal, one of the things we could do is we could move on from Brandon Cooks. We could slash his number. Because what Nick looks at is there's an $8 million cap savings that is going to have future impact.
I think you're forgetting one other thing.
What?
The Easterby, okay. Do you remember why Brandon Cooks is here? One of the big reasons Brandon Cooks is here? Because Jack really likes him.
Well, he liked David Johnson, too. He's not here anymore.
Well, but David Johnson,
Jack Easterby is not, I don't think he's the, do you think he's the boss of Nick Caserio? I do not believe that.
I don't believe he's the boss, but I think
he's had more juice
He has juice with Caserio.
I do not believe he has any
juice. I think he has juice with Caserio.
But I don't think he has roster juice.
But here's the deal is I don't care about Cal's money. You know what? Cal doesn't care about Cal's money. Cal's making money hand over fist in the NFL. You can be as dumb as Cal and still make money in the NFL.
Yeah, no, that's all true. I'm just saying Nick Caserio would get an $8 million cap relief immediately from that. Now,
to spend on what?
Well, to spend next year with free agency to look at maybe.
Well, he'll
be
gone next year.
To look at one or two.
That'll be gone.
To look at one or two free agencies.
No, that'll be gone. He'll be gone next year.
Maybe at a different position. No, I'm saying look at. Well, here's why they probably won't do it. I think they'll let him walk and then they'll play the compensatory pick game where they let him walk and all the free agents they try not to sign. But remember, it doesn't matter. If you sign more than you lose, then you are not going to be in the compensatory pick game. But if you let them walk
away,
they
won't be in anyway because they're still in that free agent sign a bunch of free
probably
agent mode.
So. But the more draft picks you have, the less free agents you have to sign.
Listen, you can get a third or a fourth rounder for Brandon Cooks. I just don't think it's worth it.
I think you can get a fourth. Now, you don't think a third would be worth it for him? I don't know what his value is.
You know what? And oh, by the way, I got to put a product on the field this year.
Is he a much?
When is there going to be some urgency to actually put some decent football players on the field?
But let's just work through this for a second. So Drake London is the 13th pick, according to Bucky Brooks in his mock draft. Let's go through this. The Texans get Blake. They get Drake London with the 13th pick. They move on from they trade Brandon Cooks for a fourth that can become a third, let's say, if he hits certain playing time structures or whatever, if a team makes the playoffs. And then you sign Cole Beasley to a one-year $6.5 million deal. That's not the worst thing in the world. Nico Collins, Drake London, and Cole Beasley.
No, but Brandon Cooks would be better.
That's pretty good. But I think it's all relative, though. But it's also you pay $8 million less out of your pocket.
Well, let's see if they take Drake. If they take Drake London, that's a different deal, then.
It's five and a half. I said I think he could get traded after the draft. That's the whole purpose, is you have a better idea about what your
team looks like. You know, it's so funny. Well, you get Drake London, you get rid of Brandon Cooks. How about having good players? How about having a lot of good players?
Well, 1 year, I mean, as opposed to you get something for him. Let me tell you, if you can get a fourth, you're not getting a fourth if he walks away in compensatory pick. The amount of money he would probably sign for, and then you have to win the lose versus gain. I'd rather get a fourth rounder for him this year than maybe nothing. If you have to sign more free agents, you get nothing next year. They might view that as more. I'm just trying to work through all the different angles that a team has to look at. That's why, remember, if they think your value is better as a compensatory walkaway, where they think you're going to sign a pretty good deal, and I don't know what Cooks would sign, but I think he's capable next year of signing a two-year deal worth pretty decent money next year. Mm-hmm. That could be worth maybe a fourth next year. But you have to lose. You have to lose more than you sign. Like you said, I don't know that that's going to be the case with this team.
Yeah, no, you're not. They're not going to be able to.
So then you get nothing. No matter who leaves, you get nothing. Not that you have good players.
Astros talk on the other side. There's actually a pitcher out there that is actually got an opposing pitcher that's got some common sense. We'll tell you who it is on the other side. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you got any thoughts, you're more than welcome to get in here. Josh Reddick, you mentioned him. There was so much stuff going on about... Carlos Beltran opened up he opened up Pandora's box with some of the things that he had said, and some of it he was right. I mean, they should have been stopped. If Jeff Luhnow never said anything, then he should have said something. But it was Carlos Beltran that brought the whole scheme here. He and Cora and they were all in the middle of it, and he got suspended he got kicked off the Mets, and he was also out of baseball too. But
oh no, he did not delete this tweet.
Josh Reddick?
No. Good
so,
for him.
So read the tweet.
So Carlos Buster Olney wrote Carlos Beltran's words regarding the Astros sign stealing scandal. Quote, I didn't stop it the way no one stopped it. It's not taking responsibility as Tony Kemp did. When even as one of the 2017 Astros youngest players, he refused to participate because he thought it was wrong. Josh Reddick responded, Jose Altuve and Josh Reddick can be added to that list of not using it as well. And then, of course, you know, here comes Dodger fans after Josh Reddick. And one of them says, unless this kid deleted his. Oh, this kid deleted his. Whoever this person was, they didn't like the crap. They basically went after Josh Reddick about being a cheater.
Oh, and Astros Twitter went after him?
And here's what he said. Sounds like the team... he went after Josh Reddick about being a cheater. Josh Reddick went to his profile and found out he was a Dodgers fan and just said, sounds like the team you root for about cheating. And then, you know, that's opened a firestorm as well. But obviously, that kid ended up taking so much heat that he deleted that. It's not a
That's
kid.
That's what I'm saying.
Astro
Twitter
man.
Came out after him.
Yeah, I would think so. Either that,
you don't
or
want
he,
Astro Twitter.
Either that or he just realized that he had potentially opened up a can of worms he didn't know about. But probably you just don't like the heat of everyone coming down on you in your Twitter. Even though all you have to do is just turn off your Twitter and you're fine. You know, turn it off for 24 hours and you're fine. Or make your profile private. But Josh Reddick is out there once again saying it's not Altuve. Here's another one.
Yeah.
And I think the players probably are so pissed because they realize, man, we had a lot of guys who benefited and cheated. You know, Carlos Correa benefited. Obviously, George Springer benefited. Obviously, guys like Marwin Gonzalez benefited the most. Tyler White benefited the most. Obviously, these guys all benefited. So for other players who didn't use it, like Josh Reddick, Josh Reddick doesn't like being associated with it, even though he's going to apologize and take one for the team because he's a team guy. You apologize as a team. You used it, quote unquote, as a team. But Josh Reddick wanted to make sure that people knew he wasn't involved and that. But now this is after it's already come out that Tony Kemp. So as soon as Buster Olney mentions Tony Kemp, Josh Reddick's like, oh, well, I'm going to take this opportunity to make sure people know that me and Jose, because it probably irritates. I know it irritated Carlos. He said it. It irritates players that somehow Jose Altuve, who was not a user,
the buzzer thing,
took the bullets nationally as the face of cheating.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
John Boy did that with the buzzer.
Yeah,
John
Boy single-handedly ruined Jose Altuve's reputation. It's one of the
and possible Hall of Fame. And possibly his Hall of Fame.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't think it will.
I don't know.
But you just never know.
These holier than thou. This is interesting. Chris Sale, Boston pitcher, who got lit up by the Astros in the postseason. Now, you'll remember the biggest home run off Sale was in Fenway, so obviously he can't say anything about that. But he got lit up in Minute Maid as well. Chris Sale, he was a punching bag for the Astros for a little while. Here's Chris Sale on the cheating allegations for the Astros.
Man, you're asking me some good questions at 7:55 in the morning, man.
Guy's just trying to have his coffee. And...
Well, I don't drink coffee. I'm just trying to enjoy my water, man.
He's the one who said it.
I don't know, man. Here's the thing, and I'm going to give you my honest opinion. If the Astros were the only team doing it, then yeah. You know, give it back, take it back. I know for a fact they weren't. So, you know, you all these people pointing fingers. Well, hey, take a check in the mirror real quick. You know, make sure that you and your team weren't doing something. And what they did was wrong. And I'm not trying to condone it, but I mean, shoot, we're talking 5 years ago now, and we're still talking about this stuff. I'd like to kind of turn the page on it, but it happened. They dealt with it. There's nothing you can really do about it now, sitting here where we are. So you just kind of move on from it.
Okay.
Chris.
Well, that was WEEI. He was on.
That's not what we were hoping to hear there, Chris. Yeah. We were hoping to hear that, the Astros, cheated. Oh, man, that's so sad that he dropped truth bombs on you and was finally an honest Major League Baseball player who just said what all the players know. That's what is the most irritating is, you got guys who absolutely know the deal. Absolutely know the deal. And they know the deal with guys who have been on their teams, steroids and otherwise, and sign stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And they play victim because that's what you do. If you get a chance to play victim, you do it. And anybody the Astros beat, you know, the Brian Cashman stuff, it's so funny that Aaron Judge came out and like, we just needed lick Carlos Beltran. This stuff is over. We don't need to keep bringing up the sign stealing thing. Well, your GM just brought it up, bro. What are you talking about, Aaron Judge? Go get your boy then, because
he was talking about Beltran.
I mean Beltran.
Yeah.
Judge just brought up, we don't need the sign stealing thing. It's over. We don't need to be talking about it anymore. Then get your boy.
Yeah.
Because your own GM is trying to bring it up. You know why? Because they lost, so they must have been. So they feel like they were the World Series. We know the Dodgers feel like the Dodgers legitimately had a pitcher tipping pitches in Game 7. That's what happened. Their starting pitcher was tipping pitches. The Astros picked it up. Guys pick up tipped pitches. Now, that's no lie. The Astros were very good at picking up tipped pitches.
Yeah.
They did against the Rays. And then, you know, Cora is known as maybe the best in the business at it. Now, when he has the ability to utilize video footage illegally, I could only imagine. I can imagine that he can look at video footage and find it between starts, your tips. You give it to him in game, yeah. He can really get good.
I don't know that looking for tip pitches any time is illegal. You can watch replays of
you
guys.
You can't do it real time.
Right.
You can't convey real time.
But you can watch them on the mound real time. So
yeah, sure.
It's 756 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780. And you guys got any thoughts on any of this? You're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. Bottom of the hour, Sal Palantonio is going to be joining us here on the show. We'll talk about this Eagles trade, but we got a whole lot more. Sal covers the NFL for ESPN. And then, an hour from now, this is the greatest segment in this show's history. We're going to talk golf with Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel.
Okay? I thought we were going to throw
about
shade.
The Masters.
Are we going to throw shade at Todd Lewis?
No, we're not. It's not Throw Shade Thursday. It's not is male golfer. It's not male golfer, female golfer.
No, it's not.
Todd Lewis is a golfer, but
you think
not.
Todd would play?
He's that a male
game?
Golfer.
Do you think he would have played that game with you guys?
Maybe. You don't know.
I do know. Is he employed by a...
Would he know all the female golfers when I said him?
He'd know a lot.
Yeah. Our listeners weren't very bright. They didn't know the female golfers. And I'm not sure I pronounced all their names correctly, but whatever. And the food correctly. Whatever. Okay? I did know how to pronounce Hideki Matsuyama. And the defending champ at Augusta National. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. When we come back, I mean, I can't blame Stephen A., but Stephen A. got got. We'll tell you how he got on the other side on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, you tell people about insurance.
I'm telling you about TGS Insurance, a homeowner's insurance that allows you to shop a variety of homeowners insurance producers out there, and you say, okay, well, I want to get coverage, but I need good coverage. I don't want to get screwed on this coverage. Well, TGS Insurance offers you A-rated insurance, and A-rated insurance is something you need to have. You don't want to have cut-rate insurance. You want A-rated insurance. But the great thing is, with TGS Insurance and A-rated insurance, you've got a chance to get your very best offer within 15 seconds. You text the word money to 232323. That's 232323. And within 15 seconds, you'll have a firm quote. And they will have shopped multiple A-rated companies. If you did that yourself, you would be on hold on the phone or waiting for emails for a long time. At TGS, takes 15 seconds. Text the word money to 232323. It's time for you to take advantage of the best rates possible. And the only way to do that is texting the word money to 232323 with TGSinsurance.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.